Long ago, on the fields of battle, in the year 2017, two men met to decide once and for all what the most metal things in the universe are. But there can be only one. What's more metal? With Dan Weber, Noriko Ott, and Brandy.
God.
And you haven't even sighed yet.
I know.
I had to give you something to give up about.
Yeah. Yeah, as if life wasn't enough. just life itself. Just nope.
Just that burp and a mirror are the only things that can make Dan.
That, a mirror, or just existing. Like, just walking around, does it? All right.
I don't know how I feel about the headphones. I'll leave them on.
49
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of What's More Metal. My name is Dan Weber, and joining me as always is Noriko Ott.
Hello.
And and also, producer Randy is here.
I'm still here.
He's still here.
I'm still doing this thing.
Producer Randy is here.
Producer Randy is here.
I made it to my house.
He made it to his house. As we might, if you didn't listen last week, we gave up on the whole live show idea, at least at the last place.
Right.
So we're back in the studio for now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully at some point in the future, we can then go back out again into the world at a venue that is probably going to be better for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, we need one that's full of people who love us immediately.
Right.
I think that's what was missing.
Yeah. I would just like it to be smaller. Like, uh-huh. That way it has a better chance of being full of people who love us. Like, if we narrow down our focus to like 15 people, we're probably good. Yeah.
I think to be clear too, the problem with the last venue was that we had so many of our fans jammed into a small space that they actually didn't have room to clap or breathe.
Yeah.
And make sounds.
And yeah, you couldn't hear them. Yeah.
Either that or they were so crammed into the first bar area, they just couldn't get through the door.
Yeah, it only fit like 150 people in.
Right.
There. So, I mean, so when we came with our 500 people.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. It just became a crammed wall of, it was just a great white concert waiting to happen, you know, and we couldn't have that.
And you know how we like the pyrotechnics. I mean, we.
Yes.
Can't stop with the flamethrowers, really, like just throwing it out there.
No, we couldn't do it.
No. So, anyway, so that's why we're in the studio. And today we're going to talk about, in honor of New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about most metal drunken incident
mm-hmm.
and then most metal dangerous toy, which we've been talking about toys for Christmas, but this one is like, these are like all time the most dangerous, ridiculous toys that should have never existed.
Yes.
And I think to go first, we've been doing toys first,
mm-hmm.
so we should just keep going with that.
Yeah, we should do toys first.
We're going to do toys first, and then most metal drunken incident, which, by the way, was a true pleasure to research. Like, in all honesty, like narrowing it down was fucking hard.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say a high percentage of the stories you were reading came from Florida?
I definitely did look at Florida, but I also looked at Germany, Russia, New Zealand, course. rugby. I put in drunken rugby player. got a lot of shit there.
That's great.
But so we're going to do most dangerous toys first. And in order to decide which one we're going to do, we're going to roll 20-sided dice.
Noriko's got the original in hand.
I do. It's white.
As his is wont.
15.
7. So yeah. Noriko gets to go first.
I'm going to just start by saying we didn't have any cream for the coffee, so producer Randy put butter in my coffee, Which, of course, if you've listened to previous episodes, Dan just reminded me that
butter's just cream that wouldn't shut up more than twice.
So yeah, it's like
had to tell more than twice. They just beat the shit out of it till it became.
You hand a jug of cream to an angry nanny, and she shakes it until it's silent. Yeah. It's basically what happens.
It's like crying cream, and she just shatters its will. And shake.
I'll tell you, putting butter in your coffee is the fattest thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
I was just like, just dip a cupcake in it or whatever. Like it's
some frosting.
I'm not lying. I did ask if you just had some ice cream to throw in it.
You tried to get ice cream before you would accept butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it makes sense.
Honestly,
makes a lot more sense.
I would say legitimately probably a little better for you.
We put butter and honey in it like it's a slice of cornbread. I just have a greasy cup of coffee. Looking down into it, it just looks like any cup of coffee I've ever had from an IHOP. It's just, or like a Waffle House. It's just full of like just grease sheen on it.
Dude,
it's fucking nasty.
It's pretty great,
and it's a French press, so it's extra oily.
That's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Most dangerous toy.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a lot of really great ones to choose from. let me see. I want to make sure I find the right. I'm going to choose a little toy. Let's see. That was released by the A.C. Gilbert Company in 1950.
Of course.
Called the Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab.
Yeah, uh-huh.
it's basically a chemistry set, but everything in it, it's radioactive. So,
Legitimately?
Yes. Yeah,
legitimately radioactive.
The lab contained a cloud chamber allowing the viewer to watch alpha particles traveling at 12,000 miles per second in a spintharoscope showing the radioactive disintegration on a fluorescent screen, and an electroscope measuring the radioactivity of different substances in the set. I'm trying to look at the set sold for $49.50 or $500 in today's money.
Yeah.
So it's really fucking great.
It came with a book. One of the books was how to pan for uranium. Like it had a bunch of books in it, and one of the books was that.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it came with four glass jars containing a uranium-bearing ore samples, autunite, tobernite, uranite, why not, and carinite from the Colorado Plateau region. So that's great. And so this was just a fucking super radioactive toy to hand to your kids and teach them all about
cancer. Like all about leukemia.
This is incredible.
What's crazy is this motherfucker, the company that did this, did a couple others that mm-hmm. made the list.
Yes.
Like A.C. Gilbert gave zero fucks about child safety.
Okay.
Like at all. He eventually, like they made millions because they created the Erector set. Like,
like
it is from that. Okay. But they went out of business in 1968 because of other terrible things that went happen to them. All right. So I am going to pick a little toy called the Austin Magic Pistol.
This was on my list.
So the Austin Magic Pistol was a die-cast iron, I think, or plastic even, gun, and you put a ping pong ball-sized ball in it, right? Which doesn't sound bad. What was bad about it was the way to project the fucking ball was to take these calcium carbonide crystals that you would sprinkle into the gun and then put a drop of water in and stick the ball in there. because water and calcium carbonate react violently to create acetine gas, acetylene gas.
Jesus Christ.
So you'd put this fucking, mm-hmm. you'd put a drop of water in there, put the ball in and just aim it away. And then it would shoot a literal flamethrower. Like it would shoot the ball in like a 10-foot long flame.
It makes a fucking like a kapow sound and shit. Like it's fucked up. There's a YouTube video I was watching of these guys shooting it. It's just like, plow!
And like, then also, like the thing about it is, it was only made with plastic. So they would explode like a lot. Like, or like the back would blow out and hit the kid in the face with flames. People are getting, it's actually registered now in most states as an actual firearm because it shoots a projectile using chemicals. Like it is no fucking around.
Like, remind me what it's called one more time.
The Austin Magic Pistol. And it was magic because kids' lives disappeared. Ta-da!
Poof! Your face is gone.
Ta-da! Nothing up my sleeves or anywhere else, really. My arms are missing.
Yeah. And his fingers were disappeared into the ether.
Into the acetylene. Poof. Yeah, so that's my choice for most metal dangerous toy.
God damn
it. A literal gun that shot a ping pong ball, but fast enough to injure people. Like if you shot somebody with it, he would fuck them up.
So it was a ping pong ball?
It was kind of basically.
Roughly
a ping pong ball sized. Yeah.
Made of also plastic.
Plastic, yeah. Yeah.
So by the time it escapes the flame, it's just a melted.
No. The gas would propel it out and then flame would shoot out like behind it. I suppose there's only could really only use that projectile a few times
before it's useless.
Yeah, and I don't think it always caught on fire. It was just rapidly expanding acetylene gas, but acetylene gas is tremendously flammable, so it would most of the time explode, but sometimes not. You know, it was the magic was in
In surviving.
Yeah, surviving. Like, ta-da, I'm still alive.
Ugh, I love it. Look how magical it is.
Yay. So that's my choice. The Austin Magic Pistol. Oddly enough, not made by the Gilbert Company.
Yeah. It's one of the few insanely dangerous toys not made by the Gilbert Company. $500.
Yeah.
For a fucking radioactive chemistry set.
Dude, $500 is a lot to spend on suicide.
Like, $500 is a lot to spend on a fucking, like, big gaming system or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
dude, if you want cancer, you can buy cigarettes for, like, way less than $500. Yeah. $5. $5, you can get all the cancer you want.
Yeah, that's like a month worth of cigarettes. if you smoke like a real champ.
Yeah.
I had a backup. My backup choice was the Gilbert Molten Lead Casting Kit.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
Because fuck you.
Yeah.
They gave you a kit to literally forge metal.
Yep.
Lead.
It's just lead.
Just lead.
Tasty lead. okay. You know like an Easy Bake Oven? It's like that for dudes. And also, whatever you eat lowers your IQ by 10 points with every bite. Let's see. It's basically it's a metal casting set. This came out in the 1920s and 30s. You put little metal slugs into a melting pot, and then once they're molten, you scoop it out, you pour it in little molds, and you make little lead toys and stuff. Let's see if I get where the what's the melting? I don't know. I'm guessing it was jet fuel because that melts lead for sure. Was the actual?
It's not very high, but it's high enough to still burn the fuck. I mean,
molten lead
will fuck you up.
Yeah, I mean that's still
basically molten metal.
Yeah, it's basically the same as like molten gold.
I know. It takes slightly less heat to melt lead than it does. Set your drapes on fire.
Yeah.
Set your little brother's pant leg up.
Yeah.
So But I just love that there's like, what do kids love? Tasty lead and
forging and shit.
Being a blacksmith like their pops.
How do we combine
which
this?
Is still a job.
How do we turn eating paint into a toy?
Ta-da.
The Gilbert molten lead.
Dude, AC Gilbert made the, I don't, it should display like AC Gilbert's fucking, oh God.
Fingerprint removal
Russian
kit.
Roulette. It should be AC Gilbert's Russian roulette gun. Where's the bullet?
AC Gilbert's Fight Club hand kiss kit.
Well, I got a backup, and this is a real toy.
Okay.
AC Gilbert's glass blowing kit for boys.
That's then you made the best shit.
That's the real thing. You could just heat glass until it was molten. Dude, what the fuck? Like, this company gave so few fucks. It was from like the 50s, so.
AC Gilbert was just a dude who gets off on burned boys. Like, yeah. He's like, look, I've got a fetish. It's a young boy who looks like Freddy Krueger. With no fingers. You know, that's just my thing. Jerks me off with his webby palms, you know? That's what I want.
AC Gilbert's tourniquet starting kit. Dude, what the fuck, man?
Look, I love lumpy scars. Sorry if I want to be the change, you know what I mean? This is AC Gilbert. I'm trying to be the kid.
Trying to be the change I want to see in the world.
Yeah, I'm trying to be the change here.
AC Gilbert's body rendering acid vat.
AC Gilbert's just lightning rod kit.
Yeah.
Fucking hold it in the yard. Get struck by lightning. Yeah, I hate children. That should just be like speech balloon. I hate kids.
Dude, if AC Gilbert had made lawn darts, they would be heat seeking lawn darts.
Oh yeah. They'd be way bigger.
Yeah, they'd just javelins. Be like a fucking AC Gilbert's yard javelin.
AC Gilbert's sister. Spears.
Sister Spears.
Stab your sister. Your sister Spears. Dude, AC Gilbert, man. Like, it's later on, AC Gilbert actually was, I think it was in the 60s, he would get in car crashes to get an erection.
Oh, he's one of those people.
He was the movie Crash was based on AC Gilbert.
Was based on AC Gilbert. Yeah. It would not surprise me, honestly, if that was true. It would be okay, I get it.
I think it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, that company just did not care. They wanted injuries.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Violent injuries. Or long-standing death, like with the radioactive shit. Like, how many kids got fucking died and then had to be buried in a lead coffin so that they didn't poison the earth around them? Oh, like,
yeah. Well, you can make one with your AC Gilbert's molten lead.
Dude, that's why he did it.
Yeah.
He made it. And then the glass blowing kit is to make a window in the front so you can see their face.
Got you covered. Look, we here at the AC Gilbert company make two things. We make dangerous toys. We make molten lead casting kits. And burn bandages. Those are two things. I'm sorry if I'm trying to just synergize the two companies.
Yeah.
That's all they make is just
AC Gilbert's
burn scraping kits and shit for hospitals.
AC Gilbert's chemo.
Yeah.
Chemo chemicals. Yeah, also they made a chemistry set that was everything in it was wildly flammable. like wildly flammable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's fucking So
basically anything AC Gilbert made.
Yeah. Big shout out to the AC Gilbert company.
I mean, they're all dead and none of them.
Well, perfect. Just saying, big shout out.
Shout out to the ancestors, the ones who lived. The kids who survived AC Gilbert's fucking jigsaw fucking trap made out of erector sets. Like, he would just make torture devices out of erector sets.
I'd like to think he was just like, Donald Sutherland in Backdraft. It's like, well, what do you want to do with what do you want to do, AC Gilbert? I want to burn the world. So you're like, okay, all right, that's, all right. He's on it. Man's got a dream. Oh, I want to say another backup. There was the Power Mite working power tools set.
Yeah,
that came out. This was like, what, this is like 70s or 80s, right? But yeah, it was just a bunch of tiny, like, circular saws and shit for babies. And pretty sweet.
I also liked the slip and slide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that was just, like, barely controlled. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Everybody ate shit at the bottom. Like, yeah. No one ever made it, like, slid to a stop before you went past the end of the fucking plastic.
Yeah.
And just fucking yard burn.
Or the people who would try to be on their feet.
Oh,
slide.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just watch their shit. Yeah. Just watch their head crack open like a fucking egg. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's. I love it. I liked it later on when they would do like, they like the bump. What was it? The bump and. It's not the bump and jump, but it was the one where you would. You'd run, there's like a pool at the end.
Oh, yeah.
The Crocodile Mile was one of them.
Okay.
And you would like a slip aside with a little wading pool at the end, but it was way shorter because it was supposed to be for smaller kids. Mm-hmm. So you just watch an adult just fucking blast through that fucking thing. Yeah. Anybody over 100 pounds would just fucking cream into the edge of that. It's fucking awesome. But yeah, fucking toys are great. That's the thing we've learned here.
That's what we've learned is toys from the 50s. Totally awesome.
Oh, yeah. Look, you barely even name these kids because they weren't going to make it past age 3 anyway.
So. Yeah, yeah. Fuck it. You're going to have 10 of them, so might as well get rid of 3.
Oh, yeah. Look, the cholera is going to take out 2 or 3 by itself. Then you got Spanish flu. That's another couple.
At least.
Yeah, you know.
That's, what, 1/8 of the planet Earth died from that shit?
Yeah.
Or... Was yeah, it one
like
eighth?
Was it was like a third of America or something went down with like Spanish flu, I think.
Yeah, Spanish flu killed a lot of motherfucking
in like
people.
2 years. It was crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Fuck.
But thank God we're not vaccinating children.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, another one of those came through and suddenly college would be free for everybody. So, you know.
Yeah, perfect.
Clear out enough fucking old people.
We could call it collegiate flu.
Yeah.
It's the universe of flu. And then they just fucking all die. Universities and universal healthcare all in one name. All right. So are we ready for drunken incident? Most metal drunken incident?
Yeah, let's do most metal drunken incident.
All right. I'm going to go first. I got a lot of fucking shit to choose from that I found. But I'm going to find, this one I found when I Googled drunken Russian. So
something did come up though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Shit. A lot. Believe it or not,
No.
Russians get fucking wasted.
Oh no. I've never heard that before.
So this guy, Andrei Sakharovsky,
they have a lot of car accidents.
Yeah. on dash cam.
On dash cam.
Because everybody's got a dash cam in Russia, so you can watch fucking dash cam fails all day.
Yeah, it's really great.
People getting fucked up.
When I was visiting my family for Christmas, that's what my mom's husband was telling me. He's like, that's all I watch. That's all I watch is Russian car crashes. That's like his thing now is just watching Russian car crashes.
God, Jesus TV. Christ.
Look, it's funny when it's far away. You know what I mean?
So a man named Andrei Sakharovsky, 42.
Okay.
Climbed into a bear enclosure while drunk. And it was there. There was a restaurant across the street, a deli. And they had put this cage of bears on the road as a marketing tool. Like, come on into our, we got bears, love it, whatever. So he climbed over the fence and he had in his hands cans of condensed milk that he was going to feed to one of the bears.
Uh-huh.
But instead of taking the unopened can of condensed milk.
That's weird.
The bear instead took his hand. And started yanking on it. So two other guys came in and tried to pull him off. And they eventually got him out. But the bears ate his arm. So Andrei Sarkarovsky lost his arm to a bear that munched it down, just mean mugging him the whole time. And he's like, you can see a video of him getting pulled out of the fucking cage and like screaming, and there's blood all over the side of him. He got fucked up. And he did that because he was drunk. He was drunk and he was like, I'm going to feed the bear. They're like, I don't, maybe don't.
I pray with animals.
He's like, fuck you, man. It's a Russian bear.
There's one thing I'm good at. It is befriending the bear.
Yeah.
I'm great at this. Here, hand me a can of condensed milk. The bears love. Hey, no can opener. Have you seen claws? Stay open. It'll be fine. Get me down there. Here, help. Lower me down by my left arm. That's my good arm. That's old Lucky.
Old Lucky.
Old Lucky. That's.
Yeah. So that's.
Sorry, my accent is slipping. I lost my accent in a bear mauling.
So yeah, that's my vote for most metal. A man who lost his arm to a bear while drunk in Russia.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic. There's a great SNL bit. From the 90s.
Yeah, so, the drug all drug Olympics? Is that what you're talking
about? No. This is there's another great bit from the 90s. And by the way, you could tell I was going to say the 90s because I said there's a great SNL bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, it stopped that
was
around
the last
then.
Yeah, it was about the last time. But it was when a lot of the really great SNL comedians were leaving all at the same time.
Yeah.
So they did this sketch at the very ass end of like one of the things, and it was like Chris Farley, David Spade, Norm MacDonald, I can't remember. There's a few others, I think, but they were all like they were watching the polar bears. They had snuck into like afterward, and they were like, and they were playing themselves, and then they were like, they were like, yeah, well, I'm going to get down in this polar bear cage because you guys are pussies or whatever. And then they get mauled. They're like, oh, shit. Well, I'm going to go down there and get his, you know, like, so Adam Sandler would get mauled. He's like, oh, I'm going to go down there and get his watch because fuck him. And they're full, so those should be fine by now. And then so the experts would get mauled. And it was just the way that that's how they talked about how they were all, like, going to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, but it was really fantastic in that it was fucking weird and dumb and great. So
yeah, the only reason I mentioned the All Drug Olympics, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember the All Drug Olympics.
So it was right after there was another drug scandal. It was like in the 90s or whatever.
Oh, All Drug Olympics.
The All Drug Olympics.
I do remember this one.
So they were just like this one guy. He's going to do the clean and jerk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
powerlifting.
The powerlifting. And he's put on like 3,000 pounds or something like that. He's like, he's on 5 different kinds of horse tranquilizer. He's been taking steroids for the last 3 years. And he reaches out, he's on it, and he pulls up, and his arms come off.
He just rips his arms off.
And his arms are just hanging onto the bar, and he's just standing there while blood fountains out.
I love that one, too. They're like, whoop, he's going to feel that tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, no.
I do like that when you watch all the Olympics or the powerlifting where you just watch a guy like shit his own intestines or whatever from like fucking lifting something. You're like, well, see, that's why I don't exercise.
Get some extreme pink sock action.
Yeah. Sorry. If it's, you know, keeping my wizard's leave inside. Okay. I'm going to go, Dan.
All right.
Most metal drunken incident. I'm going to go with the March 24th, 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Oh, yeah. He was drunk.
He was. That was when an oil tanker owned by the Exxon Shipping Company struck a reef in the Prince William Sound in Alaska, spilling 11 million gallons of oil all over it spread like 800 miles of coastline. And killed 50% of all marine and wildlife in the area. What else happened? I was reading about it, and there's this the way they were trying to clean up the oil spill is they used these high power like hot water jets, like they were hosing off the rocks basically with a high powered hose, and it's high powered hot water, right? And then what they were found out was like the environmental people were like, hey, you're boiling all the anything that didn't die from the oil. Yeah. You're boiling alive right now with your shitty fucking. So like mollusks and kelp and microbes, you're fucking boiling them to death. Like, so, and then there was I wanted to get the quote, but I was watching a documentary about it today, and the head of ExxonMobil, this guy named Don Cornette, he was like, look, his quote was like, look, yeah, I might be killing a few critters here, but down the waterway a little bit, they're still alive. So, I mean, you can't, he goes, you just can't kill them all. That was his quote. That was his quote. Was, you can't kill them all. That was, and his, and he was like, look, it just looks bad with the oil sitting there and just, you know, it's bad, bad, just looks bad, you know? That was it. That was, I swear to God, that was his quote. I'm paraphrasing it like barely. Like, he fucking, it's the fuck it. You're just like, and it, and his accent sounds even more hillbilly than I'm making it sound. It's fucking,
oh, yeah.
Don Cornette.
Yeah. I'm going to, yep. what part of, like, I wrote down part of it is like, I feel like whatever you hadn't killed, there's plenty more of it down over further down. Jesus Christ. But yeah, so Exxon, let me get his name real fast. The captain of the ship, Joseph Hazelwood. So here's the thing though. So he was drunk. And so he actually wasn't even captaining the ship. He got drunk, and then he was like, well, I'm gonna go take a nap. So who does he get replace him? His second mate? His third mate. His third mate was captaining the ship while he was taking a nap. The radar had been broken for fucking like a year, and Exxon wouldn't give him money to fucking fix it. And then also they were working on like the skeleton crew, which is why the third mate was captaining the ship, and they were all working on like fucking 6 hours of sleep or some shit. So didn't notice he went past his spot, had no way to know where the fuck he was at in relation to anything.
Yeah.
So he fucking ran aground. There also, the ship was a single hulled ship when it should have been a double hulled ship for protection and shit. But, when the government passed the law that said they could open the pipeline there and do stuff, they were like, oh yeah, we'll have these double hulled ships and blah. And then like, when they found out they weren't doing any of that, Alaska tried to pass a law saying, hey, you guys have to, these are our safety concerns. You have to do this. And Exxon sued them the state of Alaska and made them fucking, and then they were, they made them get rid of the law. They found that like the federal, lost like whatever. So basically like just corruption and horseshit, just anything a company can do to make,
yeah,
to make some money and rip people off. And, but definitely, an 11 million gallon oil spill for 800 miles, killing 50% of marine life. And, Prince William Sound, pretty good fuck up for a gin bender, I think. So yeah,
that works.
Sorry, I got intense politically.
No, that's fine. Happens. You can do whatever. All right. None of these are political. None of mine are.
All right, I'll go again.
Man, I am gonna go. I found this one on the Darwin Awards.
Nice.
So, this man, a man named Michael, he had a throat problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, his throat, like he could barely swallow anything, right? Including booze.
Mm-hmm.
So what he would do instead,
I'm like, you got to find a way around that.
Oh yeah, he did. What he would do, is he would hook a hose up to a bottle of booze, tip it upside down, and then give himself a booze enema. He would butt chug whatever it was that he was wanted to get drunk on.
See,
right?
It's that kind of ingenuity
and
stick-to-itiveness. Yeah. It's a maverick. The man's a maverick. And by the way, he's like, look, I'm going to have a hose up there anyway. Yeah. Right? It's Friday. I'm going to, there's a hose in my butt no matter what. Right?
So
that sounds like a country song.
So there's a hose. There's a hose in my butt, no matter what.
On Friday night, you know, gonna fight, but fight with a hose in my backside. It's a gotta get my whiskey lukewarm so it don't shock me.
So
pucker up. I'm talking to myself. It's a butt chugging honky tonk.
It's the butt chugging boot scooting boogie.
Butt chug boot scooting honky tonk night.
Butt chug boot scoot. Yeah. The butt chugging boot scooting good old time.
And then it wakes me up right. Get these kids to school. I don't know. It stopped being a country song at some point, but I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Sounds like this guy's to-do list for the day.
It is a little bit. So, Michael.
Ask me how I chew my tobacco.
So Michael was ass up, face down, and butt chugged an entire bottle of sherry. That was a little too strong. So he passed out from the booze. Mm-hmm. And then just left the sherry in there to marinate, and it finally just poisoned him to death.
Wow.
And I checked the Darwin Awards fucking researched this one and made sure it was real. So,
oh my God.
This actually fucking happened to a dude. And it was like in 2018.
Fucking.
It was this year.
Wow.
A cooking wine.
Cooking wine. Dude. Not cooking wine. Like, not all sherry is cooking sherry.
Yeah. Okay, so, but it's still a wine, right?
Well, I mean, also, cooking wine, who gives a shit? You can't taste it with your asshole. Right. Like, you can do whatever you want with that shit.
I'm sorry, but I guess I only go top shelf when I go
when I butt chug. When I butt chug, I just... Oof.
When I go back door, I go top shelf.
Smirnoff Ice.
To butt chug.
To butt chuck.
To butt chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Googling. It's a fortified wine. So it's like...
It's pretty strong.
So yeah, so fortified wine. So it's like... It's basically like hobo wine, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's Mad Dog.
He basically... He butt chucked Thunderbird.
Right. So yeah, so he just put some Mad Dog in his ass.
Mad Dog or Night Train or whatever the fuck you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fuck. That, yeah. Okay. All right. You know what? Honestly, it tastes like it came out of a butt anyway, so I feel like...
Yeah, might as well, huh?
Not bad.
So yeah, he died butt-chugging cherry.
Oh, fuck. All right. I'm trying to... this is going to... My thing where I'm you know, trying to decide what's the most metal, you know, of my shit on my list. I'm going to go... And you can help me out on this one. I know you're a big fan of this too. I'm going to go with something called 10 Cent Beer Night.
Oh yeah. Hell
June
yeah.
June 4th, 1974, the Cleveland Indians at a game against the Texas Rangers at Cleveland Stadium gave 10 Cent beers. It was a 12 ounce beer, just a Budweiser beer. And it was used to be 65 cents. If you can imagine living in a world that crazy, what Rockefeller can afford that? 10 cent beers. And people got so fucking shit hammered drunk at the game that it caused this gigantic riot where literally at the end, the Cleveland Indians and the Texas Rangers had to come out with bats and like help and beat people in the fucking who had gotten onto the field and started punching I think the Cleveland Indians came out and like saved the Texas Rangers from being attacked.
Yeah.
And like, and so like there was this huge fucking fight. And so there's all these like pictures of dudes with bats, like hitting fucking fans and shit. Like,
Jesus Christ.
And like, it became like, there's a really great Dollop episode where they just and it's fucking insane. Like,
yeah, it's really insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Dollop, my backup, one of my backups is definitely going to be the West Point eggnog riot.
Oh yeah.
Where one right, it was literally near Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I think it was like Christmas Eve that they did it.
Yeah.
So they, you couldn't drink at West Point. This is when West Point first opened.
And we're talking about the Military Academy.
Military Academy, yeah. Right. So West Point had just, it hadn't been open for very long. But one of the things you couldn't do, you couldn't drink. Uh-huh. But during one day out of the year, these guys would sneak down to the only bar near there, get rum and like nog mix and bring it back.
This is the early 1800s.
Early 1800s. And then they would fucking just throw down a bunch of eggnog, right? And this incident is why they forced them to stop ever doing that again, because people got so fucking hammered, like that they were dueling each other, and like the commandant got beset by like several fucking cadets that beat his ass, one of the guys on the guy who eventually became the president of the Confederacy was one of the students there, and he was drunk and just screaming at the top of his lungs, naked, running through West Point. Like, people just lost it, dude, and they were drunk for hours. And they people were just going fucking crazy. I've never honestly gotten that drunk as the guys did. And they fucking rioted to the point where they shut West Point down. Like, yeah. They had to fucking repair West Point afterwards.
I'm trying to see who was the, it was like Lee, I think.
No, it was the guy who was the president of the Confederacy.
Was it Jefferson Davis? It was Jefferson Davis. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they drank eggnog because it was like, it was the easiest way to like mix up, or yeah, like keep, you know, just like, oh, we have rum and we can make this rum palatable, right, and shit.
But the rum was like mad strong. Yeah. Like, it was like 100 proof at least.
Yeah, so they made like eggnog out of it, and these dudes just got fucking shit hammered and attacked like all the... Yeah, that was a really fucking... Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a great episode of The Dollop, too. If you haven't listened to The Dollop, do it.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking amazing. They just did one about George H.W. Bush that was... real frustrating. Yeah. Listen to it. Like, it was real gnarly. So, but yeah, that's, that was a fucking really great one. Another backup I had was in 2005. Around 2005, in Mesa, Arizona, my buddies had this, this place called, we used to call it the Higley Ranch, and it was in, on Mesa, Arizona. It's like on Higley and like Baseline. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. And the only thing around it, there was one church. And then it was just this shitty dump of a house that was like surrounded by dirt fields. So we would just party there all the fucking time because you could just be loud and fucked up. So we'd have, and they would do this thing where they, like, once a month they'd just throw a big house party and then have bands play, and then they would try to make their rent money.
Yeah, like, rent parties.
Yeah, rent party. Yeah. So they would do that a lot. So they went too far, and they ended up flyering all over to like, and like 500 kids showed up to this fucking house.
So they Project X'd
it. We burned through a keg in like 35 minutes. It was like gone. And then the rest of the party is just like half drunk teenagers waiting for another keg to show up, and like start starting fights. Shit's getting crazy. Get another keg. It's cashed in like 20 minutes. It just like as fast as you could dump out a keg is how fast it fucking went. And then so that started another thing. Then cops started showing up because cars were parked up and down the street for miles, and it was like kind of fucking with traffic. And then we were like, oh yeah, whatever. And then cops like started seeing all these fights and shit breaking out and stuff, because it started to get real gnarly because there was just so many kids. And we just heard like one of the because we were like, hey, there's like six dudes here. Can you get rid of them or whatever? And the cops just goes, uh-huh. Leans into her, like, just leans into her, like, little shoulder walkie-talkie. Goes, it's a riot. And then you just see these giant cans, these red cans. It's like, it looked like a gallon jug with a spray hose on it. And it just sprayed the whole fucking backyard with mace. And it shot, like, a 30-foot spray of mace, like, all over. And there were two helicopters floating over because there was the Gilbert and Mesa Police Department.
Yeah.
They fucking flood, like, just started spraying mace on like a 500 like high schoolers. Then one, like, they like bashed in all the fucking doors of the house with battering rams. And then when kids were running out the front door to escape, they just were shooting them with like beanbag shotguns and shit. It's like fucking gnarly, gnarly shit. Smashed every door in the house like in half because they're just these flimsy fucking doors. Fucked the whole house up. Made everybody just like march down the street because they were like, no, fuck you. You just got to leave. But there's nothing around. Arizona, like, so if you didn't have your car, you're like, okay, so I'm stranded miles away from anything. My buddy Jeff ended up, we were like walking down the street and I just see this truck because they have the back lot was full of cars. And I just see this pickup truck come like ramping out of it, like jumping out of this thing. And they're spraying the truck with mace, which I was like, how is that a cool cop move? I better mace this guy in a moving car. It's like the dumbest shit. So he ends up driving through them. Yeah, it was my buddy Jeff just dropped his truck and like kind of ran through the cops like in his truck. And then just kept picking up kids and dropping them off and stuff. But my buddy Jason at the time would film like everything on his video camera, like just every party we went to and stuff. And he was like, I got the whole thing on camera, dude. I got the whole fucking thing. And we're like, oh shit. So we went to watch it. And it's like, you're watching a band play, and all of a sudden, like, there's a cut, and then the camera's just panning across an empty backyard full of trash with a helicopter spotlights going through it. Like, he cut the whole riot out by accident. Like, he hit the record button again and didn't record any of it. But, yeah, it was a giant fucking riot. And then they tried to call the cops to be like, hey, who's paying for all the damage to my house you guys did? And like none of the cops would even admit they were there. They like both police departments, they were like, oh, we don't even. Yeah, what are you talking about? We have no incident report for that. Like just fucking kids up left and right and shit. Like, yeah, just denied it even happened.
Wow.
Cops, 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 cops. Anyway, so that was one of my favorite drunken incidents. Like, there was a fire breather on the roof for a minute. My buddy was in bed with a girl, like getting it on when like cops smashed in his door and shit. He was like, fuck. Just insane shit was going on. So, it was just one of the most epically crazy fucking things that's ever happened. Buddy of my friend, my friend's band was playing and they maced all of their equipment. They just ran in and maced a bunch of people playing instruments. Cause you don't know what's been that kick drum. Could be a fucking katana.
Yeah.
Don't know what's happening. So yeah, cops are great.
That's really the moral.
Sometimes
of the story.
You have to shoot a 16-year-old in the stomach with a beanbag from a shotgun. You just gotta. She might come at you with her 86 pounds of fingernails and bad attitude.
Yep.
Gotta take them down. Anyway. So, good times. Arizona.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it up. That was just one of those fucking crazy
parties. That's fucking nuts,
parties,
man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Great story.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I think that's it.
Yeah. I think that'll do it.
For drunken incidents.
That's a drunken incidents, people.
And, I picked a man who got his arm pulled off, and Enrico picked the Exxon Valdez, which do things that could not be more different, except booze was involved.
Booze was the main factor.
Yeah.
In both those things.
So do we have any more reviews?
No, I actually checked halfway through the Dangerous Toys, and we do not.
Mm. We do not have any other reviews. No. That's okay.
That's fine.
Whatever. You know,
okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you can review a restaurant, but you can't take five fucking seconds.
Yeah. You Yelp this.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh, we should pretend it's a restaurant and have people Yelp. Like, leave Yelp reviews.
What's more metal?
Yeah, we'll just leave as a fake place people can Yelp review.
Yeah. We could call
it. I shat scorpions for a week. 2 stars.
2 stars. Man, botulism, I wish, 5 stars.
Barely newer. Anyway, good times.
So do we have a Ride the Lightning round?
Do we have a Ride the Lightning topic?
I didn't think of one in advance, but just kind of looking around the room, surveying what I can ask about, and decided on cheap beer.
Did we do this one already?
I think we did this.
Beer.
We've done cheap beer, but that's fine. We could do it again.
Did we do it as an actual topic, or is it just like a?
Or did
did somebody just mention?
I think somebody just shouted it out when we were doing the live show.
I think that's where I'm thinking of where it came from. But I'm down with that. We'll just roll to see who goes first. Let's see who gets aluminum in their mouth. I got 19.
18. So you go first.
Damn it. Okay, most metal cheap beer. I know we've done most metal beer, I think. Because that's where Dan picked Billy Beer.
Right.
Cheap beer. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a really good... Yeah, you know what? I think I picked it last time, but I'm going to have to go Old Chub.
Old Chub.
And it's because it was the Walgreens brand beer. Walgreens made a beer to compete... And it was like $3 a six pack. It was like $2.50 a six pack. It was like an insanely cheap six. And as a testament to how fucked up my friends are, I remember it being a really exciting time. Like, cause my friend's like, dude, $2.50 a six pack. I'm like, what's it taste like? Who gives a fuck? And, but then we brought it home and turns out it tastes like a well-worn Civil War boot.
Yeah, it's real bad.
So gross.
Yeah.
Like hot gangrene leather in your mouth. It was the worst. You couldn't even fuck. You couldn't fuck with how bad. It was so bad. It was immediately like, it was an insurmountable obstacle. Like between, it was like, oh, we can't do this at all. Like this isn't okay. Like you would think like, oh, whatever. Just
power
chug
through,
it.
Yeah.
Chug it. And it's like, there was no, it was.
That bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was like, there's some beers that have a really great aluminum can flavor to them, you know? Your Schlitz, your Milwaukee's Best.
Sure.
But, and I'm a big connoisseur on the cheap beers. I just drank a Hams.
Right.
But this was like, it just like, if you could spray off the lower decks of a slave ship. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And that's what it said on the can. So, it was so bad.
Old Chub was the name of the guy.
Yeah, it was Old Chub.
Old Chub was the guy who piled the captain of the slave ship.
Yeah. I'm Captain Chubbs.
Yeah, little known fact, he captained Amistad.
He's just the captain of the Amistad. Old Chub.
Old Chub was the captain of the Amistad whenever he'd bucket down the bottom floor, just turned that into booze, and that's how Old Chub came to be.
Yeah, it sounds like a roadside attraction, like, come see Old Chub, the iguana that's had diarrhea for 50 years with no breaks. Old Chub.
old Chub.
It's so gross. So yeah, it just in terms of being an undrinkable trashed beverage, Old Chub is hard to beat, I think.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with St. Ides.
Yeah. Mm.
In part A, because it was strong as fuck.
Yep, it's a malt liquor.
It's malt liquor, so it fuck you up. Mm-hmm. It was cheap as hell. Mm-hmm. It was like $1.50 for a 40-ouncer.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, as I discovered on Fun Employment Radio, shout out Fun Employment, St. Ides released a hip-hop album that was all about various big-time hip-hop artists at the time singing about how much they loved St. Ides.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
And we listened to one with Snoop Dogg that was just like all about how dope St. Ides was. There's another one by Eminem. There's one by Wu-Tang.
I want this album.
Yeah. It was like 20 minutes long.
Oh my God.
Of like just song after song of guys being like, yeah, man, Ides. And it was like, I like the Ides. It was like, oh Jesus Christ.
That fucking rules.
Yeah.
If that's on Spotify, man, I am fucking.
And we used to do this thing. And this is dumb. This is both dumb and nerdy at the same time. Every March we would only drink St. Ides for the Ides of March.
Oh, nice.
So dumb. But it was just an excuse to drink the worst goddamn beer of all time.
I liked St. Ides. Like in terms of 40s, it was one of my favorites. Is that in Oldie?
Goddamn, those two things are fucking gross, dude.
What are you talking about?
Old English, have you drank it recently?
No, but I remember it tastes like blood. I remember that.
Yeah.
It just tastes like blood.
Yeah, it tastes like the blood you're going to have fill your mouth when you get in a fist fight with your best friend after drinking your second 40 of Old English 800. That shit is fuck old anger. Like, that is some bad.
Hold on. Here's a Wu-Tang Clan St. Ides commercial from, I believe, 1995. I think the album was called St. Ides 94, which I'm guessing is the year.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what this.
With St. Ives in my system, crack another, I'm blessed. Let's go get the next one and get over. My object is to stay sober, lay on the sofa. Better yet, down my shoulder. Who means the wild be champs, stressed out, could never be son. Rick and say jelly.
They're taking different.
Naturally blessed, yes. My rap is like a laser beam.
Oh, I love it. I love that there's, they took a verse too. They're like, hold on, I get this next line. Let's fucking, next bar is mine. I got a great St. Ives. Rhyme.
That's amazing.
I'm surprised we didn't get to the old dirty bastard part. Like, that would probably be
old dirty bastard. Too drunk off the free St. Ives.
Yeah, yeah. Or DMX.
That's
St. Ives. What?
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy. bro, he just throws up. Shimmy, bro. As a backup on Must Smell Cheap Beer. Fuck, is it cheap, though? Oh, I don't know if it's cheap. Fuck. So, never mind. I was going to go with Molson Triple X. It's a beer I got in Canada in, like, fucking whatever. I think it was 2000 or something when I went.
What's it called again?
Molson Triple X.
Molson?
Yeah, M-O-L-S-O-N. And Molson's, like, a cheap Canadian beer. Yeah. It's basically Budweiser or Bush or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's but they made Triple X, which was I believe 13% alcohol. And so it was super strong, and it was just if you could drink the sherry that came out of that guy's asshole, that was Molson Triple X. It was fucking, we got it, and it comes in a black can with three X's on it.
Yeah.
And it was just sludge. It was fucking gnarly. We got it when I went up to Whistler, and we were hanging out and went camping and shit, and ended up just playing Star Wars Monopoly in the van because it got too cold by the fire. But it was fucking fun.
No, they are not expensive.
Hell yeah.
A 12-pack is $21.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's not too bad. Yeah. $21, that's pretty, I mean, it's not, that's a fair amount.
Yeah. Well, I mean, depends on where you live.
It's not like a dollar a can.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what, you know, is that New York prices? Is that, true. You know, that's a 12-pack of fucking, you know, Olympia or whatever.
It's brewed by Coors Canada.
There you go.
Yeah.
Adolf Coors.
Adolf Coors.
So if you want more evil in your shit, Coors.
I think that my backup is going to be Sheaf Stout.
Sheaf.
Sheaf Stout. It's like $1.50 a bottle. It's only 32 ounces, but it's fucking mad strong. It's like, it's a very dark stout. It's got kind of a coffee taste to it. And the reason that I pick it is because somebody one time years ago was like, you can never get drunk when you're high on acid. And I was like, let's test this theory.
Yeah.
So I took a hit of acid, then I chugged three bottles of Sheaf Stout, like one right after the other, like maybe in 5 minutes, and then took two bong hits. And I was like, all right, you're on acid.
Let's land this plane.
Let's just see what happens. And it was fucking weird. My brain was still firing on all cylinders. Like, I didn't feel super drunk because the high from acid like overtook everything else. But my body was drunk. Like, I couldn't walk straight. I could barely fucking function. And instead of the high being 16 hours, it was 8, and then I passed out.
Yeah.
My body was like, we're done here. Yeah. Fuck off. But yeah, Sheaf Stout, for sure.
Jesus. Fuck. I don't know. I worry about like passing out on acid or whatever. It's just like, I don't, there's something about it. Just like, yeah, I just let all these chemicals just kind of soak in. And like,
I was crossfaded for sure.
Yeah. That's fucking gnarly.
It's fun.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
We blew a tree out of the ground. This guy had a quarter stick of dynamite and, we just went down. It was near Eugene. There was like all these little, roundabouts. And one of them had a tree in the middle, so we dug a hole, had like a minute-long fuse,
yeah,
lit that off, and then ran, and then it fucking blew up, and the tree like launched out of the ground, just and like flames shooting up. It looked like a rocket to my acid brain.
Yeah.
And he was like, run, and I couldn't. I just started like crawling down the street. Like, that was it. But it was awesome. I mean, that was a fun time.
That's fucking hilarious. Like, crawl! Crawl, you bastard! Cops are coming.
No cops came.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was fun.
No cops came.
I don't think so.
I love that.
I was long gone before they did, if they did.
No, I just like the idea of, if it happens again, you call us, okay? We don't come out for the first bang.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. We're busy!
So yeah, that's my
doing nothing.
That's my choice. Chief Stout, and my initial choice was St. Ides.
That's great.
And you had Old Chub and then
Molson Triple X.
Molson Triple X.
Yes.
So I think that's the show.
I think right? So too.
And then we're done.
That felt good.
Yeah.
Felt good.
Pretty good.
We learned a lot about Cream.
We learned a lot about Cream.
We learned a lot about
country music.
Country music.
Country music.
Boy, did we.
Yeah, but the Bud Chug Boot Scoot Boogie.
Cut butt that, yeah.
Butt chugging.
Hey, Billy Ray, this is, oh, hold on. Here, put that down in your notes. Edit that out, Randy.
Oh, my fart.
Fucking.
My achy, breaky fart.
Yeah, anyway, Billy Ray Cyrus, that's your comeback right there. Fucking. Oh, on Dangerous Toys, there was a Hannah Montana card set that came out.
Yeah.
And the case that it comes with. Was like 75 times the legal limit of lead in something.
Yeah.
And then they're because of some loophole legally, they couldn't recall them because it was in the case and not the toy itself. So it's just Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Miley Cyrus just fucking.
Oh, and then there was also the CSI.
Oh, the CSI fingerprint kit.
Fingerprint kit where the dust that they gave you was. At least 5% asbestos.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. And it was like the kind of asbestos that's like super gnarly. And
yeah,
like
it fucks you up.
A single exposure can give you lung cancer. They're like,
yeah,
I just love it. They had to use like criminal science to figure out what happened to all these dead kids.
Yeah,
they.
Like, where is all this cancer
showed
coming
up
from?
The kids were there for them.
It went full circle. So,
CSI got CSI'd, everybody.
Fucking awesome. Anyway, thanks for joining, everybody. We'll see you next fucking week.
Yep.
Hope you had a good holiday.
Yeah.
Go get drunk.
And happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's, everybody.